This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar. The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. Fuck it though. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J. Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I'm gonna start the episode as I always do by thanking you first and foremost for taking the time out of your day to just sit and listen to the nonsense that I spew. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do sincerely greatly appreciate that. It ain't many of you, but the few of you there are, love you with all my heart. Anyways. Man, I'm late again. I had a hell of a week / weekend, learning more about like just the sacrifices of being a parent and what like parenting is, learning to respect my mom, you know, so much more for the things that she had to do for us as I experienced them as a parent myself. It's crazy. So yeah, today's episode is going to be mostly a Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
I guess before we get to that, just some quick things I caught in the news as I sat down to record this. I see that they've interviewed Dave Chappelle's attacker in jail, and he's, I guess, come forth with his, fairly predictable reasons behind the attack, the tackle, the whatever it was. Basically, I forget his name, and I don't think, I hate to say his name's not important, but it ain't. Basically, I guess he identifies as bisexual and dealing with a housing issue at the time. And he wanted to let Mr. Chappelle know that his jokes about the LGBTQ community and homelessness were triggering, and that he should, in his words, he should, you know, run these things past the people that are going to affect them before he makes these public jokes that trigger people. Not much of a news flash. I really don't think Dave was under any illusion that his jokes weren't triggering. I'm pretty sure he understood that. Enough has happened that's been made quite clear. I guess I'm not aware. I don't remember the jokes that Dave made about homelessness, but maybe he did. Everything is fair game to me, you know. I almost feel like respectability in this culture and in our society, the top level of respectability when you know you are, you know, a member of, a part of, is when people joke about you. And if they feel like they can't, then you're excluded somehow. Like, because we joke about everything else. So if you're the thing that we can't joke about, then you are apart from and excluded somehow, that's not inclusive in my mind. But before I go too far on that, I just thought it was interesting. They felt the need to clarify that. I thought about whether or not I was going to have this discussion or not. But because maybe somebody can help me understand, because I really hope that the sincerity comes across when I'm trying to like explain that I want to better understand things so that, you know, I don't make mistakes. And just so that, you know, I'm a conceptual learner. Once I understand the concept behind something, then I can apply it to, you know, whatever situation I may encounter. But I'm not an if-then kind of person. And it feels like right now I'm in a mode where I'm being taught like situation by situation. When this happens, do this. When this happens, do this. When this happens, do this. If I understood the overarching concept behind it, then I could just apply that concept to the situations as they come up. So yeah, I'm reading the article today about, you know, the attacker, and the article you know, just mentioned that he identified as bisexual. And I am curious about, like, what is, to me, word choice is intentional and important. And so I am trying to understand the nuance between identifying as something and being something. You know, what is the purpose? What is the intention behind when one word is used versus the other? What is the difference between what you identify as and what you are? I know what the difference is from my perspective or from my perception, but I wonder what it is for, I guess, individuals that identify as things sounds like the wrong word. Feels like the wrong word. It feels like I'm fucking up, but that's, you know what I'm trying to say. I hope you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're a thing. I just don't know how to, I don't know how to identify what you identify as. Whatever. It's a question. It's a legitimate question. I'm just sincerely trying to understand so I can better maneuver and not step on toes and not do anything unintentionally offensive. I will, on many occasions, be intentionally offensive. It happened this weekend. But I don't ever want to do that when I'm not trying to. You know what I mean? I don't know. Help a brother out. Anyway, back to the Sheffield East report. Let's just do that, because that's going to be the crux of this episode.
Out of Pepe.
So, I don't know if I had, I think I had mentioned a couple weeks back, like, just, you know, for me, the amount of things that I have going on, like, anxiety level has been at 1,000 for what feels like an extended period. So I can't even tell you how long it's been, because it's just, I have so much that I feel like I have to do, and so much of it is social, and nothing gives me more anxiety than being around people. I think that's where the majority of the anxiety toward driving comes from. It's not so much, I am acutely aware that I'm piloting tons of metal at speed that could cause, you know, severe bodily harm, death, property damage, all that kind of stuff. So I'm very aware of that, and I think that plays into the anxiety. And the other part of it is just, like, drivers on the road feels like a community. It feels like a club I'm trying to, you know, fit in. And I'm trying not to look like the guy who doesn't know what he's doing and not anger the people around me. I've been in, you know, if you're a passenger in a car, you've been in the car with someone who's very upset at another car because they don't know what they're doing, or they're not following the rules, or they're doing something. And, yeah, I have that thing where I'm not trying to upset anybody. You know, I'm not trying to fuck up. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I have that social anxiety every time I get in the car. Like, am I doing the right thing? Am I not bothering people around me? I got to figure out where that comes from. I feel like everywhere I go, I'm acutely aware of, like, my impact on the people around me, how I'm being perceived at the moment, you know, whether I'm upsetting somebody, whether I'm threatening to somebody. It's really weird. It's not quite a fun way to live. I'm working on it. So yeah, that's been like a huge anxiety for me. And so one of the things I had coming up that was, you know, a big deal was I was taking Elise, you know, I guess, like, out of town on an overnight trip to this camping ground and water park this weekend. So we went to Splashway Water Park in some part of Texas that I don't know, but that was the whole plan this week. So I had to spend the week, and this is going to be like my first time, like, taking her out of town, you know, by myself. I was going with friends, but, you know, I had the sole responsibility of taking care of my child and just, like, just packing for her and making sure I had, you know, everything that a kid could need over, you know, the course of, you know, 2-3 nights. And, am I trying to anticipate stuff, you know, with, because children I don't know. They find unique and interesting ways to, like, fuck shit up all the time. And you just can't, it seems like you can't be prepared enough. And so I spent, like, the week packed, because that's not me. Again, this is coming out of my comfort zone, coming out of who I am as a person. I'm typically the guy who's, like, packing at 4 a.m. the night before, you know, I got to get on a 8 a.m. flight, and I'm, you know, I don't sleep that night because I spend the whole night finally packing stuff. And this time, like, it just, the whole week was packing. Like, I just slowly started putting stuff in the bag. And as I was doing it, I think of something else and I had to grab that or got to wash this or whatever. And I thought I had everything. It turns out I did. But yeah, the anxiety started early. So I think the morning of, I took Friday off of work. I was going to pick up Elise up early from school, pick her up around noon. I think the original plan was that I would drive to her school to pick her up and then, you know, and maybe have a friend with me in the car. And then I would drive. We were going like 2 hours away to this campground water park. And I would just have an adult in the car with me and I would make this trip as a way to acclimate myself to driving and get more comfortable and be safe at the same time. So I think that was like the concern. I got some texts from my ex-wife that morning, just kind of expressing her concern. Luckily the situation had changed. You know, my buddy wanted to take his dog with us and, you know, I got leather seats in the Patriots, so that wasn't going to work that way. So we ended up taking his car and he drove. So that was out of the way. But again, you know, mom was a little concerned, you know, first time going out of town with dad. She's going to be away, you know, not someplace that mom could immediately get to if something went wrong. I understood that she was concerned. And I was concerned, too. I was scared out of my wits. But we picked her up. We met mom at the school. They got the, you know, have some goodbye hugs and we hit the road and, man, it was, you know, that's when just like the craziness of the weekend started. It wasn't a crazy weekend. It was an interesting weekend. Interesting. I want to say this before I get into the rest of it, cause that's what most of my discussion about this is going to be, my experience around a majority white environment and stuff that, like, just wasn't a part of my life growing up. So much not a part of my life growing up that these things didn't seem possible. Like, they weren't even in the realm of possibility for me. So to be doing them now and to be bringing my, you know, my daughter around it, it's just interesting. It's fascinating to me. And the whole time I'm in these environments, I'm just learning and I'm just experiencing, and it's all new and exciting and interesting. I gotta talk about it because it's new shit for me. So we're driving, and you know, there's large parts of Texas that is just like, it's almost like undiscovered country. Like, you know, people are there because every couple of miles you may run into a structure, a farmhouse, or something. But we're driving around, you know, a lot of these very rural, very, you know, nothing out there at all kind of places. We drove past one place where there was a really small town. It looked like Mayberry or something like that. And then they had like a heritage museum. And, you know, Chad brought it up because, you know, we weren't expecting to see a museum in this little ass dusty town. And then when we finally passed it and I saw that it was a heritage museum, I'm like, man, that's a red flag. And so we had to have that discussion. And I was just explaining to him, like, heritage, you know, normally means like your past, you know, you being proud of your heritage. And in these southern areas, it's not but so far back you can rewind before you hit a period that wasn't really cool for people to look like me. And so, yeah, when I see heritage museums, yeah, I a little cringeworthy for me. What heritage are we talking? Yeah, what heritage are we talking? Hopefully it's good. I never felt unsafe. I did feel unsafe. I get to that. But, you know, I don't know. Elise wasn't. I won't say I felt unsafe because I don't want to make it sound like I took my daughter someplace where she wasn't safe. But, you know, I was keeping my eyes open. I was aware. But I'll be driving through these areas and it's just, you know, land. And every once in a while you see a field, like I said, a farmhouse, maybe a tractor somewhere out there. It's not a lot of cars in either direction. And it's just almost like undiscovered country. It's like, is roadkill in the road and like buzzards eating at it. And And they like so accustomed to having the road to themselves that they wait to like the last second to fly off before you hit them or something. It was weird. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful country. Trees and grass everywhere and cows grazing and stuff. It's the kind of like, it's the kind of ride where you just sit and you look out the window and you have time to think, you know, and you have time to think and your mind will wonder. And it made me think, like, how many unsolved murders were we driving past? Like, this was definitely the kind of area where if somebody takes you, nobody's looking for you out here. And if they do look for you, they're not going to find you. There's too much space and there's nothing out here. Nothing. Matter of fact, by the time they find you, how much of you is left? Like, you know, there's, I'm seeing buzzards eat shit in the road. I'm sure there's other stuff that don't come out into the street that'll take care of you if you're out there. That's where my mind went. Like, I often wonder when Chad is driving me to these, you know, I don't know, rural areas of Texas, like, are we cool? Did I offend you in some way? Was one of my jokes a little too far? Like, you can tell me before we get, like, just let me know, you know. Don't do the Walking Dead, like, look at the pretty flowers thing to me. I don't know. I want to know that this is my last breath. Maybe I could, I'll tell some more offensive jokes before it's over just to get them on my system. But I don't know. We eventually got there. And in my first thought after getting there to this campsite, because we have water parks where I'm from. I think at one point, you know, his mom asked if we had like water parks, you know, back east. You know, she thought maybe it might be too cold. No, we summer comes. I'm not that far north. Summer comes. We have water parks. I've never been to one of these, like, it's a water park and then it's just like a campground with like crazy amounts of shit to do and cabins and stuff like that. My immediate thought when we got there was, it reminded me of Dirty Dancing. Like, that was just the first thing that hit. Like, I spent a lot of time with my aunt growing up. And my aunt's in her 90s now. And Dirty Dancing was one of her favorite movies. So I grew up, like, idolizing Patrick Swayze. I know that movie, like, you know, like the back of my hand. And, you know, it's one of my favorite movies. And I remember watching that movie as a kid and just like, I didn't have any frame of reference for this. Like, this is a magical movie thing that people do this like way out in places I never understand. And it's crazy and fascinating to me then. It was fascinating to me this weekend as well. And for those of you who know the movie like I do, you know that's directly from the film. That's the part when Baby jumped off the stage and Johnny Carter and everything in the crowd cheered. It's a dope moment. Everybody knows Time of My Life. I feel like you should. But that's why I thought we had to rent like golf carts to drive around, you know, the campground. And it was just crazy. They had stuff everywhere, a little stage for live music that they had every night, and you know, a restaurant on the place, and bars, and a million different playgrounds for the kids, outdoor laser tag, which I had never seen people play laser tag outside, but that's a thing. It was crazy. And I packed everything except for floaties for Elise, which was pretty important because we were going to a water park. But we were able to work through that. I realized that my social anxiety is it's so serious that like certain parts of my biology like shut off when I'm around people or in close if I mentally know that I'm gonna be in this enclosed space with, you know, other people for a certain amount of time, like I'm dancing around it for 2 days. I ain't taking shit, like, and it wasn't like I felt I was holding it in. It was just like I just didn't. My body was like, we're not comfortable. We're not doing it. So, you know, I don't even think I farted for like 2 days, man. It was crazy. This was insane, but this is the level of anxiety I go through. Elise did not have the same issue. She lit it up a couple times, but and I'm proud of her for that. These are the, you know, your kid's supposed to be better than you, and she definitely is in that regard. But she had a good time. The first night we got there, we went and had dinner with, you know, my buddy's family, which was dope. She got to hang around some other kids. She got to play with dogs, you know, run around in the dirt, which is not my thing. Riding on the golf cart, which she seemed to really love. We had s'mores that night, did the campfire and all that. And I'm, you know, I'm not that guy. I'm not the outdoorsy guy that's like lighting fires. And I'm sure the way I was roasting marshmallows probably wasn't safe. But we got it done. I never realized just how I should have realized, like, graham crackers, sugar, marshmallows, sugar, chocolate, sugar, that was just three types of sugar, part of it roasted. Like, yeah, just how insanely sweet, like, s'mores, right? Elise didn't even. I think she took a couple bites because it's the novelty of it. It's the fun of doing it. But I don't think she wanted the thing. So I ended up having to eat hers and mine. And I don't eat sugar like that. Well, I'm trying not to. It's been a month. I haven't ordered any Oreos in like at least a good month. I'm trying to get ready for this podcast festival. But yeah, so I guess I'm off sugar a little bit. But at least enjoyed it. We had a good time. And then the next day we went to the water park. And then that was, you know, that was super dope as well. It did start to become super apparent that my daughter and I were well in the minority. Like, well, I, you know, me and Chad was laughing the entire time about whether or not we saw another like black family or just black person that didn't work there in general. And there weren't many. I think we saw a couple families there at the park, you know, that weekend. I don't know if they just came for the water park and left because we didn't see them in the camping area. But and it's, you know, I don't know if like these are things I wonder about, because, you know, I'm not sure that they're, and maybe, you know, white people, you know, Chad has not confided in me with this, but do you go places where you're like that much in the minority that, not that it worries you, but just that you just become super aware of it? Like, is it uncomfortable for you to be at some place where you're the only person that looks like you? And does that happen to you in the like continental United States? Like, do you go places like that? And it's weird. It's just weird. Nothing happened. No, but everybody was super nice. You know, no incidents, no even, you know, weird question like what sport do you play or did you go to college or, you know, shit like that. None of them type of, you know, weirdnesses. But it just, I was aware of it. I'm glad that like I get to take my daughter to these places so that she experiences this stuff now so that she's not 40 and aware of it. I don't think it was ever an issue for her, you know, who she was around. She said something about white people in mixed company that I didn't hear. I don't know what it is she said. I just remember somebody looking at me like she just said that, and me like, I don't know where she got that from, even though I clearly do. But I don't know what she said. I wish I could like go back and get a videotape of what she said and find out. I'm worried. So I got to be careful what I say around her. I should have been this whole time, but I wasn't. But yeah, we did the water park thing and had dinner again that night. And we got to go out and listen to some live music. And, you know, again, Elise is at that age where nobody's told her, you know, that this is her music versus not her music or whatever. So she just had a ball and we danced. We had a great daddy-daughter moment, like, you know, dancing, you know, to this live band, you know, with under the lights and stuff outside at night. It was super cute. It all reminded me of Dirty Dancing the entire, I mean, not that part. That's gross. But it's just the environment. I don't think I grew up like understanding that these are real places and people go to these places and it's entertainable. Like, it's not like something you got to be super rich to do, or you got to be well off to do. Like, I'm not. And we did. So, it was dope. Then my age kicked in. We, Sunday morning came and it was time to pack up. And man, I guess, you know, I'm just not as efficient as some people, because, you know, my homie and his family, they had a lot more to pack. And that morning I was lifting Elise off of the golf course, golf cart. And this is what happens when you turn 40, like just picking her up, I pulled something in my back. I feel like I broke a rib. I don't know what it was, but the moment I picked her up, I felt it. And then I had to like hold her and gently put her down. I couldn't just drop her, but I was in a significant amount of pain. And so I'm moving slow. I know everybody's packing. I got Elise ready. She's ready to go. I sent her outside so I could finish packing up our room. And by the time I come outside, you know, I'm still packing. I'm still just trying to grab the things that are outside of our room that are ours. And the cabin is clear, clean. They in the car. All the kids is buckled. They even buckled up Elise, like, you know. At that point, it was like, are you okay? Is everything okay? It's like, no, I just didn't understand. This was like a military operation. And when you said move out, we had, you know, 10 minutes or something. Like, I'm gingerly getting through stuff and trying to make sure I got everything in here. And they was in the car and gone. But yeah, we made it back. We made it back safe. Dropped her off with mom. Mom was happy to see her daughter. And Elise was happy to see her. But I think she had a great time. She told me a couple times, you know, best campsite ever. And, you know, she loved going down the water slides. And I think I had a good daddy weekend. And I just realized in all of that, like, the sacrifices the parents made, it makes me appreciate my mom that much more, because that was not a vacation for me. I took a day off work and then I spent my entire weekend just like. And dad, even at the water park, like, I didn't get on any of the, you know, adult rides. I was with Elise the whole time, and just walking and making sure she's okay and looking out for her and trying to give her enough space to have fun. Cause, you know, there was a lot of times she was like, dad, you can let go, and dad, you don't have to do this. And why are you following me? Like, she treated me like I was a stalker, which I was, but you know, it was work. It was work the whole time. Then I hurt myself, like, picking her out of a cart on the last day just to get home with enough time to try to lay down and like let my back heal before I have to get up and go to work the next day. So, you know, it was not, I feel like I had the time of my life, but I didn't have the time of my life. Like, I got to watch Elise have the time of her life, which is like where all my enjoyment comes from these days. But it's, you know, that's a sacrifice we make as parents. Like, my fun was not going to come in that weekend. My fun is going to come from every time she mentions that weekend, or every time she tells somebody about that weekend, or every time she asks me when we're going to go back. Like, that's where the happiness is going to come from me. But, yeah, it was a great trip, and it was horrible. I had to get home and drink tea and stuff, try to loosen up everything, compacted in there. But you should expect this at this point. Like, none of this should come as a surprise that I'm talking about this stuff. Like, man up, it gets worse. But yeah, that was my weekend. That was the Chef Elise report. She had a great time.
Out of Pepe.
She ate s'mores. She went down water slides. Here's the funny part, right? So we had a water park. And everybody's phone is, you know, everybody's camera is their phone. So I'm not taking a lot of pictures because we in water. We're getting wet. But I eventually, you know, decide I should get some pictures of her coming down these slides for her mom and, you know, for people in general. And I ask her if she wants to take, you know, a couple pictures to let mommy see you coming down the slide. And she's like, yeah, that's her thing. She's a little model. She likes to pose. So I get my camera. We get out there. She gets to the top of one of the slides, and I pull out my phone to take her picture. And this little girl like lays across the slide on her side, you know, and does the whole, you know, hand on the hip thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm getting embarrassed. because, you know, there are other kids that want to slide down the slide, and my daughter is doing this whole model laid out pose on the top of the slide where everybody can see. I can't let her know I'm embarrassed because I don't want her to feel like she did something wrong. But it was insane. Trying to encourage, all right, I got it. I promise you I got it. Just come on down the slide. But, you know, I got to start understanding that that's my little girl. She doesn't have these social anxieties. She's not afraid of, you know what, she's not even aware that people are looking at her. She's oblivious. And I want her to hold on to that for as long as she can. Because this way of life, my way of life, sucks ass, man. It really does. But that was my weekend. I'm sorry for being late with the episode. I'm still tired. I'm still hurt. You know, my back and my side still really hurts. I need to get on this treadmill and try to, you know, keep up my workout regime until I get hit the Podfest later this weekend. It's just more like I got to go from one social thing to another social thing. And I probably do my next episode about a lot of that. And I think we need to talk about, you know, these anxieties. And I think I feel alone in it because nobody else expresses that they deal with the same thing. Or I haven't been around people that express that they deal with the same thing. So I'm going to talk about it so that hopefully somebody else will either come out and be like, yeah, man, I relate to that. Or maybe silently, you know, somebody relates to you. I don't know, but it's probably what we're going to do next week. So if you want to skip it, the choice is yours. I might miss a couple episodes just because, yeah, I'm going to be out of town. But I'm taking equipment with me to do it. I'm just making no promises. I'm trying. I really am trying, folks. But I don't know. I don't know how entertaining an episode this has been. But it's been an episode. We got it done. I'm here every week. I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna try to be here. I just said I wasn't, but I'm gonna try. But with that said, before I do any more rambling, let's wrap it up. Let's do the calls to action. Isaiah Fitness, my homie. You can catch him at livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you need to be with your nutrition and your fitness goals. Great dude, my homie. If you need help on those things, hit him up. livealphafitness.com. And then, as always, I got my merch. It's the Summer of the Algorithm. It's a coupon code algorithm. We'll get you 20% off your entire order at the whatistws.com store. Get your shirts, Gaining Definition, the Just Ask, the Algorithm shirts. I got all kinds of stuff in there. I think they're dope. And I wear them all the time. I had the TWS trunks on at the water park this weekend. I would have took pictures, but Elise probably asked me 6 times this weekend why I was so fat. So I feel a certain kind of way. But anyway, you don't have to look fat. Or you can if you want to. Whatever. They just dope. Go get you some. Coupon code algorithm. Get you 20% off. With that being said, thank you for rocking with me. And until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.